let's go on a Thursday, December 18th, 2025. Ryan Armani, JR, afternoon. Brian Morton across the glass. Dominic Valentini across the glass, as is Danielle Mason. Let me tell you, great to catch up with everybody today at the holiday party thrown by Ann Thomas and Steve Finitieri here at WJR. It is so great to mix and mingle. And we just talked about holiday parties earlier in the week. We had an interview. Is the holiday party being minimized or is it going away? Let me tell you, the camaraderie this afternoon was off the charts. And these white elephant gifts, the white elephant gift exchange, is a really fun idea that gets people up and about and having fun in the oohs and the ahs and the stealing of the gifts. And it was great. And I got a chance to see people that I never see here at WJR just because our schedules are so great. Believe it or not, for the first time in my life, I met Chris Renwick in person. I had never seen our, you know, he's early mornings. I'm at Fox 2 at that time. I come in the afternoon. He's gone. I have met Lloyd Jackson. I love Lloyd Jackson. Jamie Edmonds and I go back 20 years, but I had never met Chris Renwick, and it was really great to catch up with him. The producer, Beth Ann, I mean, it was great to meet her. It's just a really fun thing to see everybody smiling and people not working for a little bit, just taking a little bit of a pause to be there and have a good time. And that's what it's all about. The camaraderie is off the charts. And I've said this, I say this every day. I'm going to say it again. The appreciation that I have for this radio station and the people involved in it is off the charts. And I hope that comes through the listening device that you are on the other end of. It is such a great responsibility to carry on this tradition of WJR. And I mean it wholeheartedly. I love this place. And I love being here. I do want to start with some horrible news, though. And it's just broken right now. There was a private plane that crashed in North Carolina. And that plane was owned by former NASCAR driver Greg Biffle. And it has been confirmed from a couple of people on the ground in North Carolina. This is per Matt Van Swall in North Carolina. It is with a heavy heart that I share the news that it's confirmed that Greg Biffle, his wife Christina Biffle, his 14-year-old daughter Emma, and his 5-year-old son Ryder have passed out from this earth and into the glory of God. They were on that plane. And it's just, I have goosebumps even thinking about it right now. The horrific news that is. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you have no idea what that day is going to bring you. And, you know, Paul W. Smith talks about it a lot. I talk about it a lot. We had Dr. Sabrina on for an hour yesterday talking about it a lot. You truly have to appreciate each and every day. There's a saying out there, you know, if I gave you $10 million, would you take it? And everybody's, yeah, okay. Now, if I gave you $10 million, but you died tomorrow, would you take it? Everybody would say no. Or 99.99999% would say no. So treat each day like it's worth $10 million to you, because you just have no idea what's going to happen. But this is horrible, horrible news a week before Christmas. Greg Biffle and his family on that plane, according to those on the ground in North Carolina. My goodness. We'll get you caught up on some news here. Michigan Congresswoman Debbie Dingell is pressing the auto industry and federal regulators to act faster on technology aimed at stopping impaired driving. WJR's Marie Osborne joins us with the latest details on that. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Ryan. So today she's introducing some new legislation that would require major automakers to begin installing alcohol detection and driver monitoring systems in thousands of vehicles within the next 6 months. This move comes after repeated delays by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which was directed by Congress to set national standards, but it has missed key deadlines. Congresswoman Dingell's bill would serve as a temporary mandate until those rules are finalized, giving regulators authority to fine companies that fail to comply. The proposal is named in honor of the Abbas family of Northville. They were killed in 2019 in a crash that involved a drunk driver. Advocates with Mothers Against Drunk Driving say this measure could save thousands of lives each year, noting that impaired driving still accounts for nearly one-third of all U.S. traffic deaths. While some lawmakers have raised concerns about the cost of this technology, some say it's not quite reliable just yet. The Congresswoman insists that the urgency is clear. More than 11,000 lives are lost annually, Ryan, to drunk driving. And she says the time for action is now.
No doubt about it. I'm not sure how anybody can disagree with this one, but I'm sure somebody will. But there's no doubt it's completely unnecessary. You know, we have the technology. And, you know, I always say this, too. With Uber now, you know, just take an Uber. Just take an Uber or Lyft. It's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, I know so many people that's like part of their party plan. Like they'll say, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then part of it is, okay, who's going to Uber? Who's not going to Uber? You know, that whole, it's all part of their plan, which is great. That's what you want people to do.
No doubt about it. All right, Marie, thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. All right, coming up this hour, actually coming up in the next hour, I do want to point this out. Lisa McClain, Michigan Congresswoman Lisa McClain, will join us at 3:35 today. We'll get her take on the president's speech last night and so much more. I mean, there's so many things to talk to Lisa McClain about, including healthcare, including the economy, affordability, what 2026 will look like, the election, a lot coming up with Lisa McClain. We'll do that at 3:35. I do want to take your calls coming up at 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. President Trump, with the Oval Office address last night, it lasted 18 minutes. It covered a number of issues, including how bad things were under Joe Biden and how he's fixing all of those problems. Zero illegals have entered the country in the last 7 months. That's good. He said wages were rising and inflation was lowering. I thought the highlight of the night was when he announced that 1.4 million service members were going to receive a warrior dividend in honor of the nation's founding in 1776. He says that all service members will receive $1,776 before Christmas, funded by the revenue brought in by the tariffs. That's great. But my initial reaction to the speech last night was not good. I felt like he was yelling at me. I felt like he was so mad. And he didn't take a breath, and it was hard to follow. I didn't watch any news last night either because I didn't want anybody to influence how I felt about what my own two eyes had seen. So this morning I watched it again in full. I thought it was slightly better than I felt last night. But still, I think he missed the mark. So many numbers, which is hard to follow without any visual representation as well. We're going to cover this speech. We'll go over it. What's your take? 800-859-0957. What the people are saying as well. We'll play some audio from Harry Enten, chief data analyst at CNN. All that and so much more. 760 WJR. 760 WJR. I thought the president's speech last night was not good. Like I said, I felt like he was yelling at me. I felt like he was just really mad. And when I watched it this morning, I didn't think it was much better. I did think it was better, but not much better. So many numbers. Without that visual representation when you're giving numbers, I'm going to play some Harry Enten audio, chief data analyst from CNN. You know, it might read much differently listening to it on the radio than seeing it on television. But again, when you play numbers, it's almost like you got to see it a little bit. 2026 is obviously going to be crucial. He says, and he said last night, that housing prices are going to come down. People will have more money in their pockets, more buying power, everything else because of the benefits of the big, beautiful bill. No tax on tips. No tax on overtime. The largest tax refunds expected in American history. Okay, that's great. Who's not on board with that? That sounds awesome. But people are desperate for that. And time will tell. But that's not going to happen. You know, people want that to happen now is what I'm trying to say. That's why the president was elected, to fix all of those problems that he listed last night, that Joe Biden's economy and Joe Biden's presidency, the pain that you felt during those 4 years. That's why President Trump is in office. The one thing about President Trump, right, wrong, or indifferent, if you love him, if you hate him, I think for as long as he's been in the political game, since he came down that escalator in 2015, he has always seemed to capture the pulse of the working man and woman. How those people are feeling. What those people need from their government. And it was those people who looked the other way, perhaps, at a lot of the personal flaws to pull that lever in his favor, believing he was the person that could help make their lives better. I would have liked to have seen him last night say something along the lines of, I hear you. I gotcha. It's going to take a minute, but we're going to get there in 2026. It felt like, to me, it was a stump speech that I've heard over and over and over again. Did you hear something different? 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Let me get to Robert in Detroit. You're on 760 WJR. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call, and I'm going to be very quick. As far as Trump yelling, you know, when you're sleepy trying to stay awake, you yell and shout a lot. So he's trying to stay awake. And then as far as the $1,776, in order for a draft dodger to be okay sending other people's loved ones off to fight war, you got to give them $1,000. That's all I got.
Well, you got to give him a little bit of credit sending people off to war, because he has been the one president who has tried to not do that. What happens in Venezuela, notwithstanding, that has not been declared a war. There is we don't know anything about that just yet.
The
but I think
from Venezuela got the Nobel Peace Prize, so
yeah,
he's gonna still lay off.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Robbie.
That's how Trump rolls.
Yeah, no, I understand, but. If you're going to talk about the military and sending people off to war, we got to get it right. He has not sent Americans off to fight a war.
So you think he's not going to do that? It's not going to happen?
At that point, we can discuss it. I just try to be fair. That's all.
If it's not going to happen and he's just talking smack, then that ain't no better.
Well,
you know, you have a good one.
All right, you too, Robert. Appreciate it. Bill in Rochester, you're on 760 WJR. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Ryan. Love your show. I'm glad you got it. First time calling in.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Trump, I really think what's going on currently is just, I call it manufactured by the legacy media just to counter some of the Trump successes. I'm not concerned at all, because I believe 26, 27, going into 28 is going to be fantastic. Kind of seen this movie before with Ronald Reagan. But it's like when you are farming. You got to plant the seed. You got to water it. You got to do what you can for the crop to yield a good harvest. He's been doing that now, and we're going to reap the benefits in the next 2-3 years.
Bill, that is absolutely the idea here. But I think the thing that you have to be concerned about, if you are a Trump supporter, if you are a Republican, a conservative, somebody that votes that way, is a presidential term is not 4 years anymore. It really is a 2-year term. And in 2026, if the Democrats take back the House and or the Senate, or even one of them, the last 2 years of the Trump presidency are really going to be lame duck. non-existent. So in order for those things to happen, those policy decisions that the president would like to see get through Congress, maybe it's health care, maybe it's whatever the case may be, people have to start feeling those economic benefits right now, at least perhaps in the first 4 months, I would say, of 2026. That's where I'm coming from on that, because a lot of the different policy things, a lot of the different benefits of the big, beautiful bill that you will see, you can't wait to 2027 because you may not be in power in 2027. I really feel like that first 4 months is as critical a time for the Trump presidency in 2026 here as we've ever seen.
I understand your position on that. I actually am one of those 24 million that they talk about my health insurance. I just got my nose for my premium. It's $1,300 a month.
It's horrible.
4 years ago, it was $200 a month.
Yeah.
My deductible, my out-of-pocket goes up. But he's laying the groundwork, and I have to be patient because I know what's coming. He's yielded the promises. I understand short-term, but I think next year it's going to take off so well that people are going to know that short-term memory as a year from now as we go into the midterm elections.
Bill, I really...
And as a side note...
Yeah, please.
As a side note, I spent 12 years living out of the country, 4 of them in Venezuela. I got a lot of opinions as to what's going on with that as well, but that's for another call.
Bill, I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much for the support and being a first-time caller. I really appreciate your perspective. Thank you so much. I want to play some of this audio for you, just where people are at. And if you'd like to give us a call, 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. So this is Harry Enten. After the speech last night, CNN chief data analyst Harry Enten was on with Caitlin Collins. The topic, of course, the economy and how people think the president is doing. Now, keep in mind, the economy was and has been among the strongest issues for him in his 10 years in the political spotlight. Okay, this is the data regarding jobs, how he's doing on jobs.
He also spoke about jobs, right? Well, you know, John King was talking about the unemployment rate. Look, in January, it was 4.0%. By May, 4.2%. Now, the latest reading that was out earlier this week, 4.6%, the highest unemployment rate since 2021.
So how do people view whether or not the United States is on the right track with economic policy?
How do Americans actually feel about it? And all I can say is they feel awfully about it, because take a look here. Percentage who say that we're on the right track when it comes to inflation, just 20%. Just 20% of Americans say we're on the right track. The vast majority of Americans think we're on the wrong track when it comes to inflation. What about jobs? Just 27% of Americans think we're on the right track when it comes to jobs in this country. So we're talking about under 30% on two key economic metrics.
Okay, so underwater on jobs, underwater on right track, wrong track. What about his overall approval rating? How about this?
Donald Trump's economic net approval rating. It is just flat out awful, and it has declined precipitously since the beginning of his second term in office. Look at this. Trump's net approval rating on the economy. In January, he was in positive territory at plus 6%. Way down he goes. Now, according to the latest Reuters Ipsos poll, he is 25 points underwater. Donald Trump was elected to fix the economy. It was a strength for him during his first term, but at this point, it is an anchor on him, and that is why we're seeing poll after poll after poll showing him with a net negative approval rating, and in some polls, the worst approval rating he has had in his entire second term.
On the economy in January, he was plus 6. Right now, he's minus 25, negative 25 approval rating for that. But what about the Democrats? How do people feel about the Democrats? You want to talk about all-time lows? We'll see what Mr. Enten has to say about that. And take your calls next, 760 WJR. The economy, obviously, is the number one issue in the country right now. The key word, affordability. That's the buzzword that everybody's talking about. Okay, great. The president says he is fixing it, and we'll get there in 2026. Awesome. Love to see it. And by the way, we did get great news today. Great news regarding inflation. But again, people have to feel it. I'm going to do that coming up at the top of the hour. But I had mentioned what the data says from CNN. And by the way, I did see a Fox News poll earlier this morning as well regarding all of these numbers. They are very similar. The CNN poll numbers and the Fox News poll numbers, very similar. And do polls now in 2025 matter? I don't think they're going to matter in November of 2026, but nonetheless, that's what we have access to today. But President Trump, numbers, not great. What about the Democrats? What is their plan to turn things around? Here's Harry Enten, chief data analyst at CNN, talking about the Democrats.
Democrats, in the minds of the American public, are lower than the Dead Sea. What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a look. The net approval rating for Democrats in Congress, you said it, Kate Baldwin, the lowest ever. Look at this. Overall, they are 55 points underwater. Their approval rating is south of 20%. It's even worse when you look at independents. Look at this. Negative 61 points. That means that their approval rating is 61 points lower than their disapproval rating. Quinnipiac has been polling this question for the better part of the 21st century. They have never found Democrats, at least those in Congress, in worse shape than they are right now.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, it sounds bad that Trump's approval rating on the economy is minus 25. Did you see what the Democrats was? Minus 55. And for independents, it was negative 61. 61 points underwater from independents as it relates to the Democratic Party and what they would do to fix it. You've got Chuck Schumer up there. You've got Hakeem Jeffries up there. You've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez up there. Everybody's talking about how bad the economy is. By the way, nobody said that in the last 4 years. That's number one, two, and three. Nobody talked about it then when Joe Biden was the president. They're doing it now. And number two, you have to be more than just the party that complains about it. All they do is complain about it. I would love to see one person, one Democrat, tell me what they would do to fix this. One. And I would challenge you to tell me who that is and what that is without giving free stuff away. 800-859-0957. If you have some sort of audio, if you have some sort of anything that you think I should see as it relates to what the Democratic Party would do to fix this economy, I'm all ears. I would love to see it. 800-859-0957, because I just don't think it's enough to complain. Tom in Waterford, you're on 760 WJR. How you doing, Tom? Thanks so much for the call.
Hey, good, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I listen to you a lot. I don't call in. Obviously, I don't call in, but I agree with you most of the time. But I wanted to talk about the speech, but I'll answer your question on that. You know, can you imagine what those polls would be if social media didn't have a stranglehold on a lot of the general public who are only hearing half the story, don't hear a lot of the things that Trump actually is doing, and that would make the Democrats look even worse. That's why he had that speech last night, because he knows there's still a lot of people out there who don't know, who aren't getting the messaging and aren't seeing what he does. And so I have to agree with you. My first impression halfway through yesterday, I was like, why is he yelling? Who is he yelling at? You know, I mean, right. I had that exact same thing. And I loved the guy, and I would have sold it to his face if I knew him.
Say, you're right, you know.
It's like you're hurting yourself. You're making it look like, you know, you're on the defense, you know. Right. And you should be on the offense with all these great things you got to say. You
know? Oh, my gosh. No, I totally get it. The one thing about the economy, and look, I said this about Joe Biden. I'll say it about Donald Trump. You cannot tell people how they should feel about the economy.
Right.
If the economy is good, you don't have to say a word about it. If people feel like they have a little bit, I'm just saying, and I'll keep you up here. if the economy is good, you really don't have to say anything about it. If it's Absolutely. Not good, if people aren't feeling it, you can't tell them that it's good. It just doesn't work.
But that was the one part I was going to say I disagreed with you on, is I do think there are already signs of things improving. I see it in my life. First of all, he called it out, and that's another reason why he has to get up and say it, because the general media will find a way to twist any positives into a negative. So he's got to stand up and say, that's not a negative. This is a positive. Gas prices are down, because they'll also put out false numbers and false, you know, narratives. And so, first of all, gas prices are down. Food selectively is down, and he called that out last night, and I am seeing that.
Tom,
and
you
anybody
talk-
that has a 401k doesn't notice what's happened in the last year. My 401k is the best it's ever been. I've
no
never
doubt.
Experienced the growth in 401k like I have now. I have a prescription medicine that I had to quit buying, and then my doctor said, no, I need you on this because it was too expensive. He ended up having me go to a Canadian pharmacy to buy this drug. My pharmacy just called me the other day. It was over $900 for me to get this prescription. They called me the other day, said, we have your prescription ready. It's $24.
Wow.
So all I could do is say, thank you, Donald Trump.
Right.
I got to believe that's got to have some impact. And he spoke about that last night. He spoke about how he's putting pressure on the companies. And, you know, a lot of companies are getting ahead of it because they know it's coming down the line. Like, he's given them a wide open track saying, hey, I'm coming after you.
No
and a
doubt.
Lot of them are going, well, we better start shifting gears right now.
Tom, I'm up against it here. I got to get a break in. Everybody, I can't thank you enough for being a first time caller. It means a lot to me when I hear that. It means a lot to me when people call regularly. And of course, when people say they've called for the first time, that means a lot to me. You know, I've been here since July. I'm finding my way on this radio show and this radio station, and we're doing it together. So I really appreciate it. Everybody on hold, I'm going to get to you at the top of the hour. If you'd like to stay on hold, I invite you to stay on hold. I'll get to you at the top of the hour. If not, you can call back. There is a major event coming back to Detroit, and I want to get that announcement in. We're going to do that next. And then I'm going to play some audio for you. You talk about good news in the economy and the news media. I'll tell you, this one guy was on today. I'm not even going to say it was a Harvard professor talking about the inflation numbers that came out today. You would have think he went to a funeral. It was unbelievable. We'll do that coming up top of the hour. But next, major event coming to the Metro Detroit area. We'll talk about that next. 760 WJR. We just got some great news within the last hour, hour and a half or so. LIV Golf Team Championship is returning to St. John's Resort next year in 2026. If anybody went to St. John's this past August, it was one of the best sporting events ever put on, certainly as far as a golf tournament is concerned. And secondly, just overall for our area, to help us talk about this breaking news, we've got Nick Becks, the executive director of golf, and Dustin Dent, managing director of St. John's Resort. Gentlemen, thank you so much for the time and congratulations. What does this news mean? First, Nick, I'll come to you because the golf itself was tremendous. The course looked amazing, and that was really the crown jewel.
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting, Ryan. Thanks for having us on, first off. But it was really exciting to see, you know, the crowds and everybody enjoy the Cardinal at St. John's, and we're looking forward to doing it again this year.
Nick, talk to me about what it meant to you to have all of the rave reviews about the course, the Cardinal. It was recently redone, and, you know, just the amount of people that were on that property at the time and saw how beautiful and challenging that course was.
I mean, I think it goes to all the hard work that was put in from the redesign to all the hard work that was put in from the golf course maintenance crew to the entire property. I think we all came together to really make the property shine. And, you know, it's one of those things that you get to sit back on and really be proud of.
Let me bring Dustin in here. Dustin, the amount of people that showed up and saw this really just a jewel of this resort here in Plymouth, Michigan, the world stage. What did that mean for St. John's, the resort, to be on such a big stage?
Well, the impact is tremendous to continue to get St. John's on that world stage platform, to get everybody out and understand what we're all about here. But really it's very exciting is to see all of the patrons back or the guests back and just having a great time here on property.
You know, I went to the event itself before, you know, we broadcasted from there, but I went with my dad and stepdad and just walked around, and these are two golf fans, traditional golf fans, who both said that they had never been to such a fun golf event, and they were hoping that it would come back. Look, LIV Golf is a world event. LIV Golf plays on the world, not just in the country. And the fact that they chose to come back to Michigan, the fact that they chose to come back to St. John's, I think says something about the resort itself and the people here that showed out. Do you all agree?
Absolutely. Completely agree. The ravenous golf fans in Michigan were out in full force, and it was felt by the players and us alike. I mean, the players could not give enough kudos on how the fans were and the atmosphere that surrounded it.
Take me behind the scenes, gentlemen. What was the last couple of weeks like, perhaps? When did this become a situation that we thought was going to be in play again to try to get LIV Golf back to Michigan?
Well, I think it's always been part of our agenda, quote unquote, to get LIV back here again. There's no sense in doing an event like this just one time. It's very exciting to see them come back, as you said, to be one of the ones that's chosen out of the entire world to be here, and then to host their team championship here as well. It's huge.
There's no doubt that any time you do something a second time, it will improve from the time you did it first. It's just the way of the world. What would you like to improve this August as opposed to last August? The last August obviously was tremendous, but I'm sure you learned something that you would like to take into doing it in 2026.
Yeah, well, we're just going to continue to enhance the fan experience. I mean, that's really ours and LIV's main focus, is to continue to enhance the fans' experience here at the resort and at any event that they host.
The dates have been set as well. Talk to me about, is it August 27th through the 30th? Is that correct?
Yes, you're correct on that. So we've added a day this year.
Awesome. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for the time. I can't thank you enough. I'm so excited about this. I wasn't sure how excited I was going to be about LIV Golf until I actually went. So if people didn't go in 2025, you absolutely have an opportunity now to look ahead to 2026, LIV Golf returning to St. John's Resort in Plymouth. They're going to play the Cardinal August 27th through the 30th. We will be there. Absolutely. We'll be broadcasting live from there, and we cannot wait to see you gentlemen in the weeks leading up to that tournament, LIV Golf Team Championship in Michigan. Thanks so much, gentlemen. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
You got it. That's awesome. I am totally jacked about that golf tournament coming back to Michigan, because it was so awesome. If you've ever been to a golf event before, I hate to say it like this, but it can be a little stuffy. It can be, you know, you don't want to move a blade of grass. You know, you don't want to step in the wrong spot. You don't want to be loud. And you can be as loud as you want. That fan experience is among some of the great sporting events that I have attended, and I've been to a lot of great ones. And St. John's as a resort, man, now I live on the east side. I live seemingly on the other side of the earth compared to Plymouth. It's a drive for me to get to Plymouth. But that's a place that I want to go back to. That's a place I want to go have dinner. That's a place I want to do a one-night stay. It feels like a vacation, a home away from home. So a lot more to come with St. John's Resort, the Cardinal as well, and LIV Golf coming back to Michigan. All right, I want to get back to what we're talking about, the economy, and really what Democrats could do, because I played for you the audio of how bad Trump's net approval was, 25 points underwater. And you think that's bad, right? You think that part is bad. 25 points underwater. Well, the Democrats are 55 points underwater as it relates to the economy. What would they do differently that the president is not doing now? It's one thing to complain. It's another thing to have a plan moving forward that can get you out of it. Dave in Grand Blanc, you're on 760 WJR. How you doing, Dave?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing great, man.
So number one, yes, what would you do? And I'm not a Democrat. I'm anti both sides, but neither here nor there. The tariff thing, it's a tax. It's a consumption tax. It affects everyone. People are seeing it. Have you been toy shopping this year? It's crazy how much higher things are. He inherited a solid economy. And let's go back. What he inherited the first time, an economy that was 8 years coming back. Lower inflation than the years when he was in office. Nobody talks about that. And what did he leave the first time? Supply disruptions. I don't blame him for it. The pandemic was a big factor, but all the money they gave out when people had no place to spend it created tremendous inflation pressures. Remember, Ryan, when inflation started kicking up?
Well,
April of 21.
Well,
significant change. Biden couldn't even find the bathroom at that point.
Well, you know, I just, Dave, you're obviously entitled to your opinion. He did not inherit a good economy. And that's why he won the popular vote in seven swing states, to fix the economy. Now, you can say that the economy is not
the stock market. Where was it when Biden took office, and where was it when he left?
But the stock market isn't what your grocery prices are. The stock market isn't what your toy bills are. Guys, I got to cut Dave. I got to cut you off. I'm coming up a hard break here. Top of the hour, 760 WJR. Right back. Top of the hour. Hour number two of the program here on a Thursday, December 18th. Thanks for making us part of your day. Heading into the holiday weekend, Christmas, 1 week from today. Are you ready? Saturday is going to be a big shopping day. What do they call it? Spending Saturday, because everybody's going to be out. Probably a lot of guys are going to be out getting that last-minute Christmas shopping done. Hopefully you guys have something to do this weekend and you can spend some time with the ones you love, because we saw this before the show started. It's just absolutely gut-wrenching as we get you caught up on some news. Now, the private plane that crashed upon landing in North Carolina this morning is owned by former NASCAR driver Greg Biffle. Garrett Mitchell, who is a YouTuber, wrote on X, "Unfortunately, I can confirm Greg Biffle, his wife Christina, daughter Emma, who's 14, and son Ryder, who's 5, were on that plane because they were on their way to spend the afternoon with us. We are devastated. I am so sorry to share this news." It is gut-wrenching to hear this. Greg Biffle, former NASCAR driver, his wife and two kids dead in a plane crash, private plane crash. This morning in North Carolina, just devastating. Our hearts are with them. My goodness, in prayers. Wow, terrible news. And there's no transition out of that other than treat each day as gold. That's all you can really do. You wake up in the morning, you don't know what that day is going to bring. So treat every day literally like it's a gift. We did get some good news on the economy today. The November CPI fell to 2.7%. So inflation fell to 2.7%. That is below the expected number of 3.1%. You know, it's funny. I posted this today. Here's where we are. Okay. Here's where we are. You get some good news. You finally get some good news and nobody believes the good news. I mean, it's like, okay, this is what I'm dealt with here. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics gives these numbers. They gave the number today. Well, we don't believe it. We are down to the point now where I believe people literally, if you don't like Trump, if you hate Trump, you literally are rooting for bad news or you don't believe the good news. That's kind of what social media has done to us, I feel like. Because this is the lowest since March of 2021. Now, I will also say, charts are great. Charts are absolutely great, but people have to feel that when they go to the grocery store, when they open up their healthcare premiums, because gas could be lower, food could be lower, toys could be lower, energy could be lower. But if you're paying 12 times what you paid last year for your healthcare premiums monthly, it doesn't matter because it's still a wash. So you got to get that figured out. But inflation today came in at 2.7%. That's good news. Can we accept good news? Can we root for good news? Well, this Harvard professor is on CNN this morning. This guy feels and sounds like he has just seen a ghost. Listen to this guy and tell me he wasn't rooting for bad news.
I mean, I was surprised. It was a better number than anyone was expecting. Look, inflation's been very high. Mm-hmm. It's stayed high. It has not been coming down. But, you know, people were expecting it to be above 3%. It was well below 3%. I mean, I think the president will take this as good news. The investors will think that interest rates will get cut more. So, you know, it was a positive news. There's no other way to spin it.
It's positive. No other way to spin it. You would have thought that guy saw a ghost when he saw 2.7%. And again, for all the people that don't agree with this, would you have rather it be 3.4%? Like 3.1% was the expected inflation. It landed at 2.7%. Would you have rathered it be 3.4% or 4.5%? Would you have rathered it go up because it fits the hatred for the guy? Is there any piece of joy that you could, I'll take it. 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. Hey, Mark, in Livonia, you are on 760 WJR. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Yeah, you too. You know, inflation was at 9%.
9% in March of 2022.
Right, yeah. So that's not good news that it's 2.7%. But here's the thing on what it is. Because I heard Debbie Dingell a couple hours ago, she wouldn't comment on the gas prices. I use 30 gallons of gas a week between me and my wife's car. I'm going to end up saving. I just paid $2.25 a gallon in Taylor. So, and it's $2.30 everywhere, okay? I'm going to save $4,000 this year when you do the math. Okay? A month, you know, so if I'm saving maybe $3,800 is what I figured if I don't go anywhere special.
Mark, I think I'll give you the one other thing. Let me just say, I totally understand where you are in the gas. I agree with you.
Okay.
But if you're going to save that $3,800 on gas, but it's going to cost you $3,800 more in groceries, it doesn't matter. It's not a falsehood because energy is up. Energy is up. Groceries are up. There are some things that are down, but it's a give and take. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just say this. Hamburgers, I do the grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I know what prices are. Okay. Am I going to spend $18 a pound for a steak? No, I'm not. You know, I'll wait for it to come down. Now, will I buy, you know, I'm not going to buy things that are high. I'm going to buy the things that, you know, I could buy hamburger, I could buy roasts, I could, you know, but I'm not going to buy a steak for $16 or $18 a pound.
No doubt. That's okay. Ridiculous.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, eggs are down. Eggs are way down.
82% down.
Yeah. All right. So now if you're a smart shopper, you're not going to, you know, lose $4,000, $3,800 a month on groceries.
Mark,
there's no way.
No. Mark, I totally agree. I'm totally understand you. I'm just simply offering a hypothetical of if you save that $3,800 on gas, that's great for the year.
Right.
But if you're spending
if you're spending, we just had the caller on. He was a Trump supporter. He was a conservative guy, conservative Republican. He said his premium for health care was $200 a month a year ago. He just opened up a bill or whatever for, I can't remember what the number was, but it was like $1,200, $1,400. That's got to get fixed.
Right. And I think that eventually it will once Obamacare is out, because that costs too much. I would like to make one more quick point.
Please. I got about 30 seconds.
This is on the tariffs. You go into a parking lot, you see a Chrysler, a Ford, a GM, a Toyota, a Kia, all these different vehicles. What's the difference? Not much in price, but now in Europe, why would I pay $15,000 more for an SUV instead of a Toyota over there?
Yeah.
And that's why there's tariffs. I believe the tariffs are going to make Michigan scream making money.
Well, that's the hope. That is the hope. Thanks so much for the call, Mark. Really appreciate it, my friend. More of your calls next. 760. Lisa McClain coming up 3:35 as well. 760 WJR. Michigan Congresswoman Lisa McClain going to join us in about 14 minutes from now. About 15 minutes from now. We'll talk to her about the president's speech last night, where 2026 will take us, and what we know about healthcare, how that is going to work itself out. We'll talk to her about that coming up in the next segment. But first, let's head to East Lansing, Michigan State, right now, professor of College of Social Science. We are talking to Jason Moser, how to manage holiday stress. And this is something that we've been talking about a lot lately, because I think it's really important to continue to discuss what people may be going through. The stress of the holidays is a really hard time. Professor Moser, thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
What do you see out there from people right now? Financial stress, family stress, scheduling stress, all of the above. What are some of the ways that people can kind of work through those emotions?
Yeah, to your point, we're seeing all of the above. Folks are worried about finances, getting together with family, and travel, big piece of it, getting our schedules all sorted. So everything's kind of coming together at once. And although it's the time of year we're used to by now in a way that we know it's coming, it always comes the same time of year, it does seem to always sneak up on us and feel like a really pressured situation. I think there are three main things that folks can really start with during this time of year to manage this stress. Is the first is to really take stock of where they're at, how they're feeling about what are the joys this time of season are going to bring, what are some of the frustrations or disappointments they might be, anticipating. Really kind of take stock of that. Number two, make some decisions about which way you're going to go to manage those two motivations or those things that are looming. The joy, let's not forget the joy, as well as balancing that with the stressors that are going to come. And then the third part is to, really look inside your toolbox of stress management strategies that you use. Throw out anything that really doesn't work and focus on the things that tend to work for you in stressful situations and be flexible. It's not going to be a one size fits all solution for any of these situations. To really know yourself, know what's in your toolbox. And if you're missing anything from your toolbox, there are lots of different suggestions out there. I have three that are pretty easy to use that I can talk about. But
please,
I'd like to start there with those three points.
No, it's fantastic information. And, I was thinking earlier today, because I was doing a little bit of research on this for my morning job. And among the time of year that we're in, whether it's Christmas or leading up to the new year, people really evaluate their lives, too, heading into the new year. Do I have the job that I want? Am I in the relationship that I want? Is there Mr. Right or Mrs. Right for me out there? Am I going to go to this holiday party? And the question everybody's going to ask me is, when am I going to get married or when am I going to have kids? It's really a reflective time for people to judge you as well, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, that's why I really encourage people, especially this time of year, whether they're dealing with holiday stress per se or the changeover of the year and potentially thinking about those New Year's resolutions, those, you know, it's almost, I don't even know if we should talk about those anymore because we make so many of them, right. And we, you know, and we don't follow through on so many of them. But the truth is that this is that time of year. It is a reflective time. That's just what's going to happen. So I think people, you know, really kind of taking time to think about what really matters to them, knowing no decision is going to be perfect, but really weighing the pros and the cons to different decisions, right? Whether they're going to go to this holiday party, whether they're going to take that new job, really to take stock of what is important to them so that they act in accordance with their values and not just the stress and the busy time of life that we're in, and to really realize no decision's perfect. So even if you make a New Year's resolution to go on that dating app or remove yourself from that dating app and try something else, just know that it's iterative, meaning you just got to try some things. Some things won't work out. That's okay. Try something new. So don't try to put too much stock in, like, here's my New Year's resolution. I have to make this decision. It's got to be right. Think about it more on a level where it's, you know, it's, you can make small decisions along the way.
Talking to Jason Moser, professor of a College of Social Science at Michigan State University. Jason, let me ask you about that, because I think that's a tremendous point as well. You know, maybe you were on a dating website, perhaps, and it never worked for you, and you've given it up, and you're not going to do it, but you're not happy with where you are. How about giving it a go again, or getting off the couch, so to speak, and getting back into the game? Maybe it's dating or whatever the case may be. Maybe you've sent out a million resumes for a job and nobody's called you back, so you've given that up. But you're going to start again. You've got to get back in the game. Nobody's coming looking for you. You got to go look for them, whether it's a job, a person, whatever, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that we know that helps the most with folks when they're feeling stressed or overwhelmed or down, even after being stressed for so long, is to really get back out there, get back up again, get back into it, and to kind of weigh when you're doing anything, any new activity or any new relationship, really try to think about it in terms of like two factors, mastery and pleasure. So like those are, I know, kind of psychology words, but let me just break it down for a second. It literally means try to weigh the decisions that you're making, that they bring you some feeling of accomplishment, like it's actually, you're feeling good about it, and some pleasure, meaning that it's that you like it, you like to do it. You know, I talk about people swapping out, take some of this doom scrolling time that you're doing on your phone and swap that out for, yeah, getting yourself back on that dating website or getting yourself back on whatever app you're using for putting your resume out there, because the phone usually doesn't come with any sense of accomplishment. Only marginally, you know, positive sometimes negative. So really think about what you're doing along these lines of, is it making me feel like I'm actually accomplishing something, and is it making me feel good?
I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate it. Professor of College of Social Science at Michigan State University. Thanks so much. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Happy New Year. Take care.
You got it. That's Jason Moser there. Congresswoman Lisa McClain is going to join us next here on 760 WJR. But before we do that, Billy in River Rouge has been waiting an awful long time. Hey, Billy, how you doing? You're on 760 WJR. Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Hey, Ryan, with the best program in the Motor City in the afternoon.
I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, this is Billy. You asked me if you could call me Billy the other day.
Oh, yeah. William in River Rouge. My good friend Billy. I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to let you know I really enjoy your show, and I always try to get home to catch your program and listen to it because I really enjoy listening to you. You brighten my day.
Thank you.
I just want to say, are you still on over at Fox?
Every day from 9 to 11. Tomorrow I'll be on at 7 a.m. as well.
Okay. Well, like I said, you're a welcome addition. And somehow one day, Ryan, I'd like to take you out to lunch.
My man. You know what? We do a number of remotes. We'll let you know when they are, and maybe you can come out and see us.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you brighten my day every day. I really enjoy listening to your program, and you're down to earth, brother.
Appreciate it, my man. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Happy holidays, Billy. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's Billy in River Rouge. He just made my day. How about that? All right, we're coming right back with Congresswoman Lisa McClain. A number of different topics to discuss with her. The speech last night, the Trump economy, where we're going in 2026. What about health care premiums? How is that going to get worked out? We'll talk to Congresswoman McClain. We'll do that. We'll also talk to Steve Courtney. I missed my Steve Courtney conversation yesterday. There was a good reason, though. Dr. Sabrina was here, which is great. But we'll get Courtney back today at 3:45 as well, 3:48. So to speak. But, yeah, we're having a ball here on a Thursday. It might be raining outside, but it's all sunshine and rainbows in the studio. 760 WJR. She is the chairwoman of the Republican Conference in the U.S. House. Michigan Congresswoman Lisa McClain joins us now on 760 WJR. Congresswoman McClain, how are you, my friend?
I am good, ready to get home for the holidays.
Merry Christmas to you. How does the holidays work in the McClain household?
Everybody comes over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and I cook, so that makes me happy.
I love that. Congresswoman, let me ask you, look, the economy is the number one issue in America, maybe the first, second, and third issue right now. How did you think the president handled the speech last night? And also, inflation, really good numbers today, beat expectations. What do you make of that?
Yeah, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story on that one, right? The left continues to want to gaslight the American people that inflation is the problem. You know, here's the issue, Ryan, and it's factual, and this is what the president was talking about last night. President Biden and the Democrats left us a major hole to dig out of, and you can't flip the switch and dig out of it overnight. But if you look at all the economic indicators, whether it's inflation, remember under Biden it was 9%, it's under 3 and came down again. People are making more money. It's easier for businesses to operate. We stopped the largest tax cut in American history, right? Doubling middle class incomes tax cuts. If you take a look at energy prices, they're beginning to come down. So people are not only seeing a little bit of relief on prices, but they're also seeing increases on wages. Mortgage rates are down. The country is absolutely heading in the right direction. And don't let the liberal social media hacks try and tell you different. Is we got a big hole to dig out of, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Congresswoman, how important do you believe the first 4-5 months of the year will be? Is the big beautiful bill, you're going to start to see, you know, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, you're going to get the refund checks, some big refund checks. There will be plenty of relief, but how quickly do you feel that people will actually have to feel that? Because all of the indicators are that things are trending in the right direction, but at what point, how quickly do you need it to trickle to the people?
I think people will start actually feeling more of the effects end of the first quarter when they start getting their tax returns back, right? Because one of the reasons why we signed this bill on July 4th was to make sure that it was retroactive and people would feel it sooner rather than later. So I think the real economic relief, people will begin to feel it in their pocketbooks, I would say March, April timeframe. I think it's extremely important.
There's no doubt about it. That would be welcome news to a lot of people. We're talking to Michigan Congresswoman. She's the chairwoman of the Republican Conference in the U.S. House. Let me ask you about health care, because this is such an important topic. People are bracing for those premiums to go sky high. There's no doubt that the Affordable Care Act is anything but affordable. But there's two choices. One, you're going to have to either extend those subsidies, or B, come up with something different to keep these premiums down, because doing nothing, I mean, people are going to be crippled, are they not? I mean, doesn't something have to be done?
Yeah, something has to be done, but I think we have to do the right thing. And I think there's two things that are extremely important. One, the Obamacare, the only thing that Obamacare did, remember, they said, oh, you can keep your plan, you can keep your doctor, and prices are going to come down. Unfortunately, as normal, none of that worked. So what we did this week is Republicans, with not one Democrat vote, but Republicans passed bills to actually lower premiums, right? That's what we want to do, lower premiums. Different than the Democrats that actually want health care to be an issue, and they want to subsidize. The issue is the subsidies go to the large insurance companies. They don't go to the taxpayer. So I will share this with you and check the data. Insurance companies, since Obamacare, their profits have increased over 600%. I don't think care has increased 600%, and I don't think your or my income has increased 600% since the start of Obamacare. Yet insurance companies, through the subsidies, have increased by 600%. We, as Republicans, want to focus on lowering premiums and not put more money in the big insurance companies' pockets. We want to give you choice, and that's what we did with the three things that we passed this week on the House was actual to lower premiums. Unfortunately, none of the Democrats are interested in lowering your premiums.
You know, just about that, about the insurance companies, it is incredible. And 600%, I saw one of the insurance companies went up over 1,100%. I think 600% was the average. It is crazy how rich the insurance companies have gotten over the course of...
Subsidized. That's what those extended Obamacare or COVID era subsidies, they aren't going to reduce your premiums. They are going so the insurance companies can charge you more money and 93% of the taxpayers can pay the insurance companies more money. Tell me how that's a good idea. Tell me how that helps patients. Tell me how that improves quality of care.
It doesn't on all of those accounts, but at the same time, what is the alternative? And I think that's where a lot of people have the frustration. You have frustration with Republicans. Please, yes.
But let me help you with that, because no one wants to cover this. We lowered cost with cost sharing reduction. We actually lowered premium by 11%, number one. Number two, PBMs, those are the middlemen, right, that are taking a cut of the discount that the consumer is supposed to say. That the consumer is supposed to get. And all we're saying is PBMs, show us where this money is going. They're refusing to do that. We're going to make PBMs be transparent. Second, we're going to expand choice accounts and increase flexibility control for actual patients, right? So you don't just get the one payer system. You can have options. And third, will help small businesses with the associated health plans. Those will lower costs. If we allow businesses to have associated health plans, those will lower costs by 10 to 30% and expand self-insurance options. Those are three bills that Republicans put on the floor and passed today, this week, without one Democrat vote to lower premiums. So that's what we're doing to lower premiums.
Well, that would be welcome news to a lot of people because I think this healthcare situation scares a lot of people. And I think you're on the right track. We'll see what happens from here. Congresswoman McClain, it is a welcome to see your name on the rundown every time I see it. I love having these conversations with you. I hope to do it again soon, my friend.
We will. Enjoy your day.
You got it. Merry Christmas, Lisa McClain. You got it. Congresswoman Lisa McClain, chairwoman of the Republican Conference in the U.S. House. We're coming right back. 760 WJR. 760 WJR, favorite part of the show when I talk to this guy. Steve Courtney, how you doing, my friend? You ready for Christmas and everything like that?
Yeah, I'm getting there, as a matter of fact. Thank you for your genuine concern. it's a process. Yeah. There's no doubt about it, but... I was talking to C.D. Henderson from the album show back in our cubicle. And, because he's kind of had to kind of talk him off the ledge a little bit with the holiday thing, yada, yada. And I said, the one thing that we know, having been through a few holidays, they come and go, baby.
That's it.
They just come and go.
And they always seem to work out.
But yeah, I think the older I've gotten, obviously, you put more emphasis on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, to have beautiful, beautiful grandkids. And it's all about them. I love watching them.
There's no doubt. There was a stretch before, ultimately, before my brother had kids. That was the first kids in our family, where you were like adults, you're college age, in your 20s, and
right.
you late
right.
20s, and like it's just all adults and Christmas or whatever. There was, I don't want to say there wasn't a ton of joy, but it was just different without having kids involved in the magic of the season, you know?
And it is a magical time of year.
No doubt.
Because of kids. All right, this update brought to you by the Performance Remodeling Sweepstakes, the $100,000 window of opportunity sweepstakes. You know that's a lot of cabbage. Call 586-540-6000 or visit windowsroofingsiding.com for more details. The Performance Remodeling $100,000 window of opportunity sweepstakes. Okay, your Detroit Pistons are in action tonight. Did you know that? They are in Dallas to face the 10-17 Mavericks. Your Pistons looking for their fifth win in a row. They'll tip it off in Dallas at 8:30 tonight. The Pistons are facing this Maverick squad after their fine rookie, Cooper Flagg, scored 42 points in the overtime loss to the Utah Jazz. And it bears repeating. He was the youngest, 18-year-old, as a matter of fact, to accomplish this feat, those 42 points, topping the previous mark set by LeBron James in 2003 of 37.
LeBron James?
Yeah, this kid's got it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You take a look at what's going on in the Eastern Conference there, Ryan. The Pistons on top, 2.5 games better than the Knicks. You know, they won the NBA Cup. How did that change your life?
I got to tell you, that thing's a disaster.
It's stupid.
I don't even know how it works. I mean, I consider myself a pretty savvy sports fan.
Right.
I could not explain to you
Nobody
how it
can.
Works.
I don't understand what compels the NBA, which is a money-making machine. And by all accounts, their ratings have improved steadily over the last few years, to have an in-season tournament, which nobody gets.
Well, because it's a tournament that's not a – I could play – the Pistons could play the Celtics in the NBA Cup Thursday, and the Friday game is not an NBA Cup game.
It means nothing.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Sadly, the Winged Wheelers, they stub a toe last night at LCA, falling to the Utah Mammoth. The Mammoth. 4-1 was the final. Emmett Finney lit the lamp for the Winged Wheelers. They had won 5 of their previous 6. Congratulations, Andrew Kopp. He gets career number 200 as far as assists go. Ken Talbot stopped 23 shots. But even with the loss, the Red Wings still in first place in the Atlantic Division. But, baby, it's still tight. Red Wings with 41 points. The Bruins with 40. Tampa Bay, 39. The Panthers and Les Canadiens with 38 apiece.
That's got to be the first time they've lost a game, though, and stayed in the position they were in before the game. So that's good.
They'll be visiting Washington, Alex Ovechkin and company, on Saturday. A big National Football League game going on tonight. The Rams will be in Seattle to face the Seahawks. The Lions, in case you're wondering, no way in HE double hockey sticks they can catch the Rams, Matthew Stafford and company. They can catch the Seattle Seahawks. So what you want to do tonight, Lions Nation, is root very hard for a Seahawks loss. If the Lions win out and the Seahawks lose out, the Lions will finish ahead of them. And guess what? After the Rams, the Seahawks will be at Carolina to face an improved Panthers team, and then they will finish the regular season in San Francisco to face the 49ers, another team the Lions looking to get over.
No doubt. And I'll tell you this much. You know I'm a total psycho when it comes to the Lions. I still think the Lions
are
going to go to the Super Bowl. I do. But I think the path for the Lions is much better through the L.A. Rams. For instance, if they had to go to an NFC championship at L.A., I think that would be much better for them than if they had to go play in Seattle in a cold, rainy Seattle stadium in a January 6 p.m. game to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that That is a tougher track, so I'll be rooting for the Rams tonight.
You know, I know you're so high on the Honolulu Blue and Silver. Can I share my concern?
Please.
I had this conversation with Kenny Brown yesterday.
KB!
In our cubicle. My excitement level. I wanted to get into the postseason. I truly do, especially when you consider where we have been leading up to the last two very exciting years. But my excitement level is somewhat minimal, and I'll tell you why. The team that lost to the Commanders in the playoffs a year ago, much better than this Lions team right now.
Yeah.
So it kind of, okay, I'm rooting for you. I truly am, but why?
These three games, though, that they have, I mean, first of all, they've got to go 3-0. That's number one. Without that,
end of story.
Without that, game over. You've got Pittsburgh, a first-place team. Then you're going to go play
in a very weak AFC North.
Still first place.
It's pathetic.
Very pathetic, but still a team that has to win a division or stay on top. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Not that one, but he's playing okay. You go to Minnesota, which Minnesota looked great on Sunday, by the way. They've already beat you once.
You can't take them for granted.
You can't take them for granted. And then you're going to go to Chicago. So if you win three games and get in, I think that'd be as scary a team in the playoffs that there could be in the NFC. A Lions team that has won three in a row. But they haven't won two in a row since September. So.
And therein lies the problem. Right. And the defense, I think, has allowed 30 or more in three consecutive.
Brutal.
So you got to start there. Lions, by the way, a seven-point favorite for that 425 tilt with stupid Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers come Sunday. Quickly here, I'll just let you know, USA Baseball doing backflips today. Because not only do they have Tarek Skubal, they also have Paul Skeens.
Skeens!
That are in the mix. How about that? The World Baseball Classic will run March 5th through the 17th. Games will take place in Houston, Miami, Tokyo, San Juan, Puerto Rico. The U.S. will be with Britain, Brazil, Italy, and Mexico in Group B of the first round, March 6th through the 11th in Houston. Remember, Team USA last won the World Baseball Classic in 2017. The question becomes, when Tarek Skubal takes his position with USA Baseball, will he be a Tiger?
That's a great question. And which player will recruit him to their team?
I don't know.
All right, Steve, thanks so much, buddy. We'll see you later today. And, of course, tomorrow we'll talk to you again in this same time slot. Brian Morton, Dominic Valentini, Danielle Mason, Rich Lazinski. Love y'all.
What a team.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Want to thank Ann Thomas and Steve Finitieri for throwing the party that they did today. Great camaraderie. Awesome stuff. But more importantly, I want to thank you for making us part of your day. I really appreciate it. All the great kind words. The first-time callers today. Truly humbling and amazing. I love y'all. 760 WJR.